ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Reaction continues coming in to the death of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny.
Russia has serious questions to answer. That's the view of NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg in Munich. Here in London, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak reacting, calling it terrible news. He adds, as the fiercest advocate for Russian democracy, Navalny demonstrated incredible courage throughout his life. Sunak says his thoughts are with his wife and the people of Russia. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
In Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fani Willis will not take the stand again today, as expected. The state says they have no further questions about Willis's relationship with a prosecutor that she hired to help investigate the election interference case against Donald Trump and several co-defendants. President Biden will travel to East Palestine, Ohio today to see progress from the cleanup a year after a Norfolk Southern train derailed, releasing toxins into the air. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is cracking down on sex trafficking. The state assembly yesterday passed a package of bills that came out of the speaker's task force on the issue, Democratic Representative Jill Billings.
Kids who are human trafficked are victims. They're not criminals, and we should not be charging them with the crime of prostitution.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling about 60 products made with contaminated milk. A nationwide outbreak of listeria is linked to cheese, yogurt, and sour cream made by Rizzo Lopez Foods and sold under a dozen different brand names. Two people are dead and 24 people are in the hospital across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth man was arrested this week for allegedly assaulting someone with a small shovel. According to the Duluth Police Department, the 42-year-old suspect was accused of hitting the victim with a shovel on Thursday morning near the 1200 block of East 9th Street. The victim suffered some non-life-threatening injuries and was taken to a local hospital for treatment. The suspect also suffered minor injuries during the alleged attack and was taken to the hospital before being transported to the county jail. A Duluth shopping center is hosting a new weekly event for the public. According to a Northern News Now report, businesses in the Holiday Center have started a weekly event called The Market. On Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Holiday Center will host residents for live music, food, and unique shopping opportunities. The goal is to give people more reasons to visit the Holiday Center and support local businesses and musicians. The Holiday Center is located on West Superior Street, and a schedule of events is available online. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crut.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Brewers spring training underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened up spring training with about a dozen pitchers working out with catchers. A lot of new faces, but one to keep an eye on is Jacob Mizorowski out of Missouri. They call him the Miz. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. Mizorowski pitched last summer for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers before being called up by Carolina. He turns 22 in April. NBA. Despite numerous injuries and missing three starters, the Memphis Grizzlies sent the Bucks into the All-Star break with a 113-110 loss. Giannis had 35 points, but after the game, Doc Rivers said the Bucks' fundamentals are just off on defense.
We're playing decent defense until 5 seconds on the clock, and the guy with the ball puts the ball on the floor and drives it. Straight line. Our body positions were terrible. If a guy's quicker than you or you're quicker than him, if you're not square on the ball, you're going to get beat in this league. We got to be able to guard the ball. We got to be able to keep the ball under control.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
few scattered snow showers early on today, otherwise becoming mostly sunny by early to mid-afternoon. Our high today, 18. The wind northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 6 above for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 29 by Sunday. Sunshine with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It is 8 degrees outside right now.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allbaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Friday on Matt and Air on Air, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer, talk to Wisconsin State Senator Mark Spritzer. Brigadier General Stephen Anderson joins us to talk NATO. Don't miss it.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. This is for both male and female listeners. Put your husband in the kitchen. So, Sandy, did you go into the kitchen willingly, or did you go in kicking and screaming?
No, mine was willingly. I used to watch my mother cook a lot, and we had a deal in our house. If you helped cook the meal, you didn't have to clean the dishes afterwards. And so I used to try and seize that favored position pretty often, and learn that way. And then I think when I began to ramp down from working, I began to do more cooking. So I can't say that I spend every day in the kitchen at all. And now with small audience for cooking, It's there's not as much incentive, but yeah, I've enjoyed it and gone to some cooking classes and stuff.
Well, you know, Sandy, you've got sisters, and so I had 5 sisters, and so I didn't have to spend. My mom didn't have the boys in the kitchen. She had 5 daughters.
Yeah,
who would have to do that kind of work. I didn't get into the kitchen until I was, married, and I didn't, I couldn't boil water. But I watched a lot of cooking shows.
Breta Green? Her?
Well, the one that I watched the most was
Julia Childs.
Julia Childs.
Yeah.
And so I would watch Julia Childs, and she was just this eccentric kind of woman, and I always wondered, that must really...
She was in the CIA, you know.
No, well, Sandy,
no, she was.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was a movie about Jules and Julia, and it was all... Yeah, but she's a very interesting woman.
Outside of the fact that clearly a great, chef. And then I just started watching with cable the... advent of cable and all those different things, these cooking shows. And the more I watched the cooking shows, I became kind of addicted to watching cooking shows. And, the different chefs.
Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay. And what's the guy's name? We took his life.
Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain was one of my favorites. Bobby Flay was one of my favorites, and others. And I just started watching them, and then I started spending more time in the kitchen. And so I didn't go in kicking and crawling, as this woman is saying. I'm tempted to think that the perplexed businessman might discover a possible solution of his troubles. That he would just spend a few days in his wife's kitchen, by Helen Keller. Now, you know.
Helen Keller?
I mean, yeah, not the Helen
not
Keller.
The, you know.
No, there's no, not the blind woman who.
Well, you know, she was deaf and blind.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and overcame all of those things.
Right.
But you know, the kitchen. Speaking of the kitchen, Al from Milwaukee is on the line. He fancies himself, you know, a guy who knows his way around. Hey, Al, did you go into the kitchen kicking and crawling and screaming?
Most definitely not. My grandfather was from Louisiana. He was a slave.
Oh, well, you had no choice, Louisiana.
Your grandfather was a slave, Al?
Go ahead.
Your grandfather was a slave?
Yes.
Look at that. I mean, how close we are in
him
two generations.
Brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, my grandfather did a lot of cooking, but the key was not that. The key was 97% of my living family, in the Indians, the blacks, et cetera, are women. My grandfather taught everybody how to cook, but the key was the spices. We used to get the raw materials and have to grind them up so they could be used in the kitchen. And he taught us what all of the different spices were for. And we had to taste them as we were grinding them up. And he taught us how to blend them, especially when he was cooking alligator. We would eat the alligator. No, really. We ate the alligator. We caught them and we ate them.
Yeah, let me ask what does alligator, is there anything that tastes like
chicken? It tastes like chicken.
That's what
I've
heard people say.
No, it tastes like meat. I mean, it depends on what seasonings you put on it. It has a fishy taste somewhat, but if you season it right, it doesn't taste any different than beef.
Wow. So how do you?
It depends on how fatty the alligator is.
How did you catch alligators? I hope you don't tell me by swimming.
We shot them.
Oh, you shot them. Okay.
We shot them and pulled them up in the boat and either put a hook in them and drug them to the bank and drug them on home or put them in the truck.
So, Al, did you grow up in New Orleans, in Louisiana?
No, I grew up in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
But I went to Louisiana as a kid many times and spent time with my grandfather and his family down there.
Wow.
But, see, he grew up in the swamp. He didn't grow up in the city of New Orleans because they were runaways. And his brother went to Kansas City, and you heard about the jazz era of Kansas City
when all
the bars stayed open all night. My grandfather's brother is the one who did that, Jimmy Moton. And he had musicians bouncing from one tavern to another. They do 2-3 sets, and they go to a different tavern and sit in on another band.
So, Al,
the bars were open all night.
So, Al, how old was your grandfather when he ran away? When he said he was a slave, did he run away as a... I'm trying to figure out generationally. I mean, he must have been quite a young boy when he ran away.
He died at 93.
Uh-huh.
But this was grandfather. When did he die? I can't remember the year.
Yeah.
I was in the Air Force when he passed away.
So, Al, you are a good cook, and so you enjoy cooking, right?
Yeah, I love cooking, but just about having the time to do it. That's why I have so much fun with it when we do it out in the parks with the grills.
Right.
Because most people don't have a clue about what the prep was before you got it out there.
Well, you know.
You set the meat up the night before, and I'm up almost all night getting the stuff together and making sure it stays at the right temperature and ice it down and what have you, because we'd be out there in the park all day with those grills cooking, and you have to maintain different temperatures for different types of meat.
Yeah, so what Al is talking about, something that he's done for a number of years for the community, just providing, you know, food for hundreds and hundreds of people at any given time, and being over a grill hour after hour after hour. I know I've done that, and I do it in, and you know, with I do it with brother college group, and it's you know, you got to love doing that, right?
We have fun with it, and we feed a lot of people, and they want to know why we want to open up a restaurant. I told them, I said, I have a real job, you know.
Yeah, well, you know,
fun
and hard work.
Yeah, it is, but it's fun. As long as you're enjoying it, it ain't work. It's something you just like to do.
Hey, Al,
I love cooking.
Al, thank you very much for the call. Calvin, you're a young guy. You're in the kitchen. You know, you're baking turkeys for Thanksgiving and all those kind of things. You're gonna be a good catch.
I hope so.
So you're not a microwave guy.
I mean, I definitely use my fair share of the microwave and frozen pizzas and whatnot. But I do like to cook every once in a while.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, man. There are more and more men. My father was never in the kitchen his entire life, and so I don't think he was alone. Back in those days, men, kitchen was a place where women were. And that's amazing how that's evolved, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the world of chefs, you know, it's strange because it took a long time for there to be a first woman chef, right? So men were the professional chefs, cooks, but women were the cooks everywhere else.
You know, and so you figure along the way of this change, Sandy, women came out of the kitchens and began to work and find their own identities. And sometimes, like in my family's case, my mother raised 13 children. So she was in the kitchen as long as we were all young. But as we got to a certain age, she was finally able to get out of the kitchen and forge her own life in the latter parts of her life. And it meant the world to her to get out of the kitchen. I guess women were locked into that kind of thing for a long time in this country.
Yeah, I think I do think that men dabble. You know, it's pretty easy to be a cook when you can do it just when you feel like it, right? But like your mother, you know, I think sometime we're going to have to revisit this. I think the fact that Al is the grandson of a slave is something that really brings home the fact that slavery isn't that long ago, you know, and that it's something that's me. I'm still struck by that.
Well, you know,
Al,
I've been doing, having guys in here, people bringing them in here. And yesterday I had a griot, a history guy, who can tell you these stories. And so that's what I've been doing, for the better part of this month. And we're going to play it all the way through the end of this month. But anyway, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 9:10 a.m. Hayward.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Tom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Tom, this is supposed to
be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, fruit.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fred's, baking our best for you.
You're listening.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, buy long-term care insurance at the right age to get the best value. You and I had this conversation a little earlier, and so I thought it was important that we have this conversation and tie it into another article. Do we simply not care about old people in the salon this morning? And, you know, if you look, Sandy, at the makeup of the country, I'm wondering... Certainly with baby boomers, those who will be considered the 65 and older.
Yeah, I think we have 55 million right now of 65 and older. I think we're headed up to a number that's like 70 million out in the not too distant future, where 70 million of our population will be 65 or over, which is a huge number.
Which is going to require resources.
Well, yeah, and particularly societally, you know, in many countries, the intergenerational care is the norm, right? When grandma and grandfather get old, they live with you, and they're taken care of, and that's the case in much of Asia and much of Europe, much of the world, actually. I think the United States is relatively unique in terms of being a place where the elderly maybe are distant from their children. Children have moved to San Francisco from Milwaukee. Now it's hard to live together. Otherwise are left to take care of themselves.
You know, and it's an important conversation. Anybody who's listened to my show knows that I'm constantly talking about, you know, nursing homes.
Is that because we're getting older?
Well, it clearly has something to do with that. I'm sure when I was 40 years old, I wasn't talking about the nursing homes. But what I do know is, and I just go back to those years that my dad was there, and just watching that and how unhappy he was to be there.
Yeah.
You talked about in this country, that's what we do. We've kind of, for the most part, we've got these facilities available. And so as our loved ones get to a point where they can't take care of themselves, this is what we do. We put them there because many of us, I was saying to you, don't have the skill levels necessary to do that. And you clearly stated that, you know, it's not so much the skills as it is the commitment and the time. Is that what it is?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, we have a, you know, we bust out of the nest and live separately. We don't have much intergenerational living in the United States. Intergenerational living is much more common in many other countries. And so when the time comes for the elderly to be infirm and to need care, you know, there's been this pattern of independent living that's been set up. And so in the United States, when that time comes, the people who have been living, the elderly who've been living independently, are sort of left to their own devices to find out how it is they'll take care of themselves, ergo long-term care. I mean, the fact is that long-term care has become a growth business financially in the United States because the boomer generation has become so big, and we have a bulging number of infirm elderly or people who are worried about it, who are moving into facilities to make sure that their long-term care is provided for. So, you know, it's a societally, the United States has a problem that's probably more acute than other countries, and we are probably less able to deal with the aging of our population because of our the way our society has set itself up.
You know, Sandy, it is a discussion that is worthy of being had because, you know, I clearly, and when I look at my own life, and I say to myself at times, because, you know, I don't want to use the term burden, right? To say to your children that as we age, you should put your life on hold. And I think as we look at this, and maybe from different perspectives, all of us, as we look at our own individual lives and as we've aged, if I want to put a burden on my children, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's no question that it is and can be a burden. One of the problems is that medically we've been allowed to live
longer,
and we've lived longer
and healthier.
Well, live longer and healthier until a potential, you know, for instance, the SADS had cases of dementia.
Oh, yeah.
Dementia is a horrible disease, and it's a disease, unfortunately, which permits people to survive quite a while in the condition of dementia, unable to care for themselves, but healthy enough to survive. And, you know, that is a horrible thing. And I'm not sure that any family is capable of ultimately caring for those suffering from dementia as they progress. And so that's a growing problem in the United States because of the fact that our longevity is permitting more of us to live into that period of life.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday with my co-host Sandy Williams. Up next, news, weather, and sports on the Earl Ingram Show.
For you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's top Republican says he won't push for a lawsuit over new legislative district maps if the governor signs them into law. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's getting too late for that.
We wanted to have these maps enacted now, so we have the ability to go out. I mean, there's a bunch of new districts. There's a bunch of lots of people who are going to have to be found to run for office, and that takes time.
Some Democrats speculate Republicans might sue in the hopes a judge would keep the current maps in place through this year's elections. Wisconsin is taking the first step toward enshrining limits on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state constitution. A proposed constitutional amendment passed the state assembly yesterday. The next step would have to be to pass the Senate this year, but the upper house is only in session a few more days. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Duluth has approved the use of tax incremental financing for a proposed $500 million housing development. With an 8-to-1 vote by the city council, the developers of the project in the Old Central High School area will be able to offset some of the costs of construction with reimbursement from property taxes. The development is expected to include condos, apartments, and retail space, and the first phase of construction could start as early as this summer. The project requires major infrastructure upgrades. The city of Moose Lake has voted to disband its current police department in favor of contracting the Carlton County Sheriff's Office. According to city officials, the move will allow for an additional deputy to work in the city full-time while saving money. The current Moose Lake Police Department only includes 3 full-time officers and a part-time administrative assistant. The Moose Lake Police Department will continue to operate through the rest of 2024 while the city and Carlton County work out details of the new contract. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lobo, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Netflix has proven to be very successful picking around the scrap heap of other networks. People Magazine reports that the network's latest effort is the Tina Fey-produced Girls 5 Eva. The show originally ran on Peacock but was canceled after 2 seasons despite glowing reviews and a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. This season's trailer promises the biggest comeback, well, Eva. I can't pull that off. The 6-episode 3rd season of Girls 5 Eva drops March 14th on Netflix. There are some achy breaky hearts in the Cyrus family. The New York Post reports that Billy Ray Cyrus has reached out several times to his pop icon daughter Miley to make amends. Miley's snub of her father during her acceptance speech at the 2024 Grammys did not go unnoticed. Friends close to the family say the Cyrus kids have chosen sides since their parents' divorce, with Miley aligning with her mother, Tish. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A few scattered snow showers early on today, otherwise becoming mostly sunny by early to mid-afternoon. Our high today, 18, the wind northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 6 above for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 29 by Sunday. Sunshine with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It is 8 degrees outside right now.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lobo, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done,
and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the sunshine.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, Sunny, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let me ask you, Sandy, maybe you've been living under a rock.
Huh.
But
is that a question?
Well, it's a question, because we've been hearing about Joe and Hunter Biden's, you know, business dealings.
Yeah, the $5 million bribes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was absolutely true, because it was nonstop playing out over the last 2 years. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and their families and all of these different things. Hey, Sandy, the FBI informant who brought this story up has been indicted for lying about the business practices of.
Well, I think the specifics is that he fabricated, apparently, under the indictment. He fabricated the story that there had been $5 million bribes paid to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden by the Burisma company in the Ukrainian company.
Yes.
And apparently the FBI is now asserting in an indictment that that was a total fabrication, that aspect of it. And that aspect of it has always been a strong basis as the attribution for why it is that Joe Biden would be impeached. But, you know, the impeachment theories went maybe beyond just the $5 million bribes, but the $5 million bribes were the smoking gun, and this whistleblower, the Russian whistleblower, was alleged to be the basis for a good deal of the claim that there was crookedness ongoing.
So now,
my concern about this is that those who attack the FBI and talk about the FBI being crooked will simply assert that this is further evidence of a deep state conspiracy against Donald Trump. You know, and so that's how far we've come in terms of destroying the credibility of our institutions, that I'm confident that there will be those out there who will now assert that this indictment is just further evidence of a deep state witch hunt.
Sandy, how do you, as a major party or a major news outlet, take stories like this and run with them and give them life without making sure that what they're talking about is true?
Well, and unfortunately, the story by this fellow who's now being indicted was included in some reports, some official reports, and he was described as a whistleblower and someone who was an informant to the FBI. And so that fact was revealed to the public, and that gave license to the media to run with it, because there was some credibility associated with it at that level.
And so let's just go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
Hey, this is just one guy who's changing his story now. There's way more stuff that's out there with Biden. Nobody knows the truth. I know. Listen, I'm reasonable. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? I really don't. I don't like that stuff. I'm more about the facts, okay? But, you know, this guy could also have been threatened by the FBI. You know, are you sure you want to keep your story? I'm just saying it's possible. You know, I'm not saying it is.
Well, Gary,
anything's possible nowadays.
Well, Gary, that's the way conspiracy theories get going, right? It's the possible that becomes the story as the probable. And that's just, you've said exactly what I predicted, that people would now be asserting that there was something faulty about this indictment, and that it was the result of a crooked FBI. So, you know, the attacking the institutions of the United States government have the capacity to ultimately cause it to collapse and be unable to perform its duties. You know, that's, you know, and I'm not suggesting, I'm not taking you on this. I'm just saying that the result of attacking the institutions of government renders the government incapable of performing in a trustworthy way and could lead to the collapse of the government that we know. And I worry about what it is that will replace it.
You know, before Donald Trump was elected president, I can't remember their names, this guy and his girlfriend. They both work for the FBI. They have emails saying that, oh, I'm really worried. And he said, I guarantee you that he will not be elected. You know, so the FBI has not ever been a friend to Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying that.
Well, now, yeah, wait. Those were two individuals in the FBI. But and that did sully the reputation of the FBI, and it probably queered the capacity of the FBI to provide an investigation report on Russian involvement. I mean, you do know that the legislative analysis showed that there was a great deal of activity by Russia in the social media during the 2016 campaign. Now, that doesn't mean that Trump was complicit in it. That doesn't mean, you know, but the fact is that there was a great deal of Russian activity in the social media during the 2016 campaign, all of which has sort of been washed away by the fact that there was potentially some problems associated with the FBI investigation of the Trump collusion claims.
You know, Sandy, maybe it's time that I reach out to my connection to the FBI and bring them on the air.
Well, the problem is that when a department's under assault, the person least able to defend it
is the
group themselves. And so, you know, and the fact is that the FBI has been suspect in many ways. You know, what they did to Martin Luther King was a travesty.
There's no question.
And so, you know, government police bodies are subject to being questioned. And my point only is that when we put everything into question and when everything becomes the potentially a political implication, even if it is, in fact, relating to criminal conduct, we have a problem.
You know,
the witch hunt defense has become of the strongest part of the Donald Trump defense.
So let me just say, I am going to bring on the someone from the FBI. And we can have this dialogue and conversation because, you know, and as you stated, the FBI with the Black Panther Party and other black civil rights groups during the 60s did some horrendous things. And so, you know, I'm not one who is unmindful of CIA and FBI and some of the things that they've done historically. But to say that the FBI has chosen to single out Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was president of the United States, meaning, Sandy, he was in charge of the FBI.
Well, he appointed Christopher Wray, the current head of the FBI.
Yeah, he that was the guy he decided that he wanted to run it. So it just makes, to me, it's nonsensical that when you say, you get to handpick the guy that you want to run an agency. That same said guy now is some guy who's going to turn around and go after you.
Well, go after. The problem is that pursuing facts, you know, the whole process of criminal investigations are supposed to be the pursuit of facts to the ultimate result, and then the determination as to whether those facts reveal criminal conduct or not. That isn't going after someone. That's investigating, okay? And what's happened now is that investigations have been deemed to be going after someone, okay? And that's the problem.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
It's always a great topic. You know, when he fired Comey, he admitted to Mark Levine, if he hadn't fired Comey, Comey would have fired him because of what he had done. He knew what he had done was a crime. He admitted it to Levine. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. And what gets me on all this, America really is what Trump is saying is against him, because it isn't just the FBI. It's the CIA. It's members of the Pentagon. It's all different divisions of our country. And Trump has, and Fox believers believe, they're out to get him. They are out to get him. He committed criminal acts against our country. So what is there not to know, people? I just don't understand why they get confused. Oh, they're out to get me. Well, Biden doesn't have 91 felonies. Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Good weekend.
Sandy, you want to respond to that factual
information? That's the point. That's the point I was making, yeah. That the difference between an investigation and the attack on someone, it's two different things. And Trump has decided that he can effectively gird himself with his public by describing everything that comes against him as an attack on Donald Trump rather than simply the results of an investigation.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Al from Milwaukee is back. Al, go ahead.
Yes. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is, when did this investigation begin? And I don't know. I'm asking the question. The point is, most of this stuff came into the media after Trump lost the presidential election, which means he initiated a lot of this stuff, and he possibly had something to do with those reports or the people involved in putting that stuff together. And all of this was to put a bad face on Biden to the point where he could set it up and have them remove him from office before his term is over. And all of this conspiracy stuff, I believe he started right shortly after the election. What was it, in 2020?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that it just, it falls all in place right now. And then looking at all of the other criminal activity involved, it all shows that he did all of this to set Biden up to not be able to stay in office. And now that the truth is coming out, all of a sudden, now people are talking about, well, maybe this didn't happen. Somebody lied about this. They lied about everything. And just want to clarify something for Sandy about the previous conversation about cooking. My grandfather was in the Army early in the 1900s, and he was a cook. And the only thing that they allowed black servicemen to do was cook and dig graves and toilets. Huh. So that's where some of that history came from.
Hey, Al, thank you. Thank you very much for the call, as always. 844-967-2789. Hang on those lines. We'll return.
My life was torn like windblown sand. Then a rock was formed when we held hands. Sunny, sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny, thank you for that smile. Of nature's fire, you're my sweet, complete desire. Sunny one, so true, yes, I love you. Sunny, yesterday all my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really, really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true. I love you. I love you. I love you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends, while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, the times never seem so good.
Neil.
I wonder if he's still...
He is. I saw him for 15 years ago, probably, at the Marcus Amphitheater.
Yeah, well, 15 years...
Yeah, a lot can happen in 15 years. Well, but he is still alive.
All right. Well, I know he's still alive.
He means still performing.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same room. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. is back. Tom.
Earl, I'd like to say, first off, to my friend Gary... if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it would be a merrier Christmas. and also, I think they were talking about maybe Maria Bottini is maybe who Gary was talking about in terms of problem. But I did want to leave this kind of breaking news that Navalny has been killed. He left a video in case of his death, and it's powerful parting words for the world when he dies. So Navalny, of course, was the person that was running against
Vladimir Putin,
and he's gone. And the thing is, remember, Donald Trump said that he will jail his detractors, including, you know, progressive media people. So I would really, really recommend that people check out Navalny's last words in this video that he left in case he did die. Pretty powerful.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I'll just go back to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, you say what?
What I'm saying is, as far as the FBI or any other place where people have to call, like police department, sheriff's department, fire department, they all take an oath of office. And unfortunately, some people don't adhere to that oath. Now, once you have a problem with someone, you should complain about it because the departments do take that information and they do investigate. And they may not fire that person, but they do find ways to remove them from office, or what they do is they retire them. I think that when they talk about deep state and people after people in the government, most of the people who go into the government go with an idea that this is our democracy and I'm here to help people. They do not go into a government work just for the fact of I can make money on it, or I can do things that I normally wouldn't be able to do as a civilian. So I think that we should actually give the FBI a break, the CIA a break, your police department, your sheriff's department, and say, you know, let them do their work, and they will do their work the best they can. This man was investigated, found out that he was lying, and he will be removed from the department. And that's what we should let them do their work.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I am going to reach out to the FBI, and I know we'll be able to get somebody on. And it's time now, because clearly people have questions, and questions that the FBI, for the most part, is willing to be more transparent than they've ever been before. And I think a lot of it has had to do with, you know, the fact that there are people who once, you know, looked at them as a asset in this nation, now looking at them as something other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the expectation that we can expect our government officials to all be neutered of thought is unrealistic. The question is whether they can set their own personal thoughts aside and conduct themselves objectively. That's what we ask for from our police. That's what we ask for from our judges. That's what we ask for from
anybody in government.
That's what we ask for basically anyone in business.
Right.
Okay. And I think most people are capable of doing that and understand the ethical and moral compulsion to set aside their own bias and to operate objectively. And so, you know, the fact that people have biases, I do think that the people who were involved in that investigation and the FBI agents whose private emails suggested they were biased, yes, they probably did have a bias that related to Donald Trump. The question is whether it actually affected their work. And so I think, you know, I think most of our government employees and most of the people in this country are capable of setting aside their own personal views.
Well, you know, Sandy, I just think that when it comes to, you know, President Biden and Hunter Biden and all these people who said it was the gospel, and now they find out that this person was not being truthful, was not being ethical, the response can't be, well, they said they were going after Donald Trump. The response should be directed at this issue.
Yes. I will say this, though. I think the Biden problems relate to the problems that relate to Washington generally, which is that instead of ethics being a matter of black and white, it's all become very gray in Washington. Many people in Washington achieving wealth, they would say honestly, they're not selling government per se, but they're selling contacts or whatever. And so I do think that Washington's ethics need to be questioned. And I think that the problem is that the Biden ethics are probably not out of the norm at all, not out of the mainstream. You can look at the other officials, people who would be called upon to investigate, or, you know, Mitch McConnell and others. And it is not pristine. That's the problem. And the question really comes down to, on the long run, what should the American public demand from Washington?
All right. We got to leave it there. Thank you very much, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for a great week. And thank you more than anyone else, the listening audience. Could not do it without you. Up next, Chris Baugh and Greg Baugh and Jane Matinier. Matinier on there. I was thinking of Chris Bosch.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Mike Clemens and Terry Barr. Join us in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Beach Wabba.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allbaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Germany for the Munich Security Conference, responding to reports.